Welcome back to the New York Sports Exchange, episode number 140. We're back. We're so back, baby.
We're back.
We're so back. We got the...
It's a good time.
It's a great time to be alive.
It's a good time to be alive.
It's a great time to be alive. Tim, we can see his face. We can see his face.
Finally.
It's about damn time. No words can describe how excited I am. This is... I've been waiting long and hard for this day, and here we are.
Yo.
Pause.
It's like when they open the gates to Willy Wonka's factory.
Yes.
Everyone's outside cheering.
Exactly. A lot to cover. A lot to talk about. The Rangers are in a bit of trouble. Went from up 3-0 down to 3-2. Up 3-2. It's getting scary. Scary hours.
You're losing the fans. I don't know how. I don't understand how Ranger fans could possibly boo, but you're losing the fans.
Losing the fans somehow. Colorado and Dallas. Dallas taking a commanding 3-1 lead. The Oilers may have found their answer. The Bruins live to see another day.
This Oilers Vancouver series,
it's
crazy because their AHL teams played in the Calder last year against each other, and these two goalies faced each other last year in the AHL playoffs and are now both called up as a third string backup. And Oilers call this guy up because Stuart Skinner has the worst save percentage in the modern era for hockey in playoffs, like of all time. He has the worst. So if this is their answer, this is their answer. Here's the thing. We'll get to it, but with this goaltending, neither of these teams are moving on.
No, not
a shot. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's got to take a miracle. It's got to take a miracle.
Yeah.
It's NBA, we have the Knicks win away from the conference finals. One win away. We'll recap the disastrous weekend with the New York Knicks, but they found a way. Denver takes a commanding 3-2 lead. What a 180.
You just can't count them out.
What a
fucking, you can't count them out.
180, man.
Aaron Gordon misses team dinner, and apparently he just becomes 11-12 and makes every shot. So keep missing team dinners. Keep doing that.
Boston takes a 3-1 lead against your Cavs.
This is ridiculous. How do we get so hurt now? I know we've been dealing with injuries the whole year, but how does Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell in the biggest playoff series we've had since 2018, both of them just can't play? I can't go.
OKC and Dallas tied at 2. Recap that. The NBA draft lottery. We have So everyone's surprised. The Atlanta Hawks have the number one pick in the draft. We will recap the winners and losers. Recap what's been going on in baseball. The Mets finally did it. They DFA'd Joey Wendell.
Thank God. Get back up here, Vientos. We need something. That Phillies game, how do you... They blew it in the ninth. I mean, Edwin Diaz lets up 4 home runs this year. He's that's more home runs he's let up all of 2022. All of 2022, that's more than he let up.
It's back to Ed Luz Diaz. And then finally, it's major week. The PGA Championship in Valhalla in Kentucky. We will give our predictions for winners. I have a make the cut parlay, which I'm very excited for. Maybe some three balls as well.
It's Rory's to win now.
It is Rory's to win.
He's locked in. He's locked in now.
It is Rory's to win, yes. So let's get it started. The New York Rangers have game 6 tomorrow. God. Even when they lost in game 4, like I kind of saw it coming. Game 5 was just a slap in the face.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to win in Raleigh, especially after what just happened at MSG. So I honestly, Stan, like I would be so worried if they lose this game. I think this could be real embarrassing real quick. Yeah.
Like really,
and you're praying the Knicks get it done in Indiana faster than anything else could happen.
I cannot live through 2 game 7s in a row because that'll be torture. I can't live.
Yeah, I saw a 5-game series, game 7. Now we're back to this 5-game bullshit. I mean, just win one tonight and bring it back home, and we'll see what happens if Mitchell can come back.
You're talking about the Cavs.
I don't want to.
Yeah, you're talking about the Cavs. Yeah, different sport.
I'm losing my mind here. I'm just saying. I went through 5-game series of the Isles, 7-game series of the Cavs, Orlando. Now we're back to a 5-game whatever. fiasco, and I'm just figure it out.
You're losing it. So what can the Rangers do to right the wrong in Game 6? Because Laviolette's already shaken things up, and to be honest, I don't really agree with them. Going back to Trouba and Miller and Gustafson and Schneider might not be the way to go. And also,
it's just,
I think the stomach bug's going around the locker room right now, because we saw what happened with Filipino. Chris Kreider was out with maintenance, and Laviolette said in the presser this morning that he hopes it's just maintenance. Because,
yeah, it's that time. I mean, everyone's just, all the injuries are behind the doors. You got no idea what's going on. I think for the Rangers, they kind of just got to stay true to their game. What happened a lot in the first three games is Carolina sort of got away from what they did against the Isles, clog that neutral zone, you know, have two guys in the puck, possess the puck, play that man defense style they did, and you know, not lose track of guys. That was a huge thing for them. I mean, they lost track of, at some points they had three guys on one guy and the Rangers just had open one-timers. It looked like it was over.
Yeah.
But Carolina's starting to, you know, jolt back a little bit, get into their game. I think what the Rangers have to do is just don't, you know, conform to what Carolina does. I think you got to stick to what's been working for you the whole year. You got to continue that high-paced offense. Don't overdo things. Continue with that chemistry and creativity. I know they've been so successful on the power play, but get that 5-on-5 game to what, you know, we've seen it be. I mean, we've seen them snap the puck around the neutral zone, set up one time with backhand passes, no looks. I just think, especially after the three goals in the third, wins out of their sails a little bit. They're going into a away stadium. Raleigh's not an easy place to play in.
It's
a real tough place to play in. They got to have a great first period and sort of quiet them down and then ease their way into, you know, second and third and close out the game. If they want to, you know, close down Raleigh. Now, if they don't and they go back to MSG, you already kind of lost the fans in Game 5.
Well, here's my thing with losing the fans and the booing. I've realized that during this playoffs, it seems like, because, you know, Madison Square Garden and playoff tickets, they're very expensive and the common folk like us can't really afford them.
It's not the real fans, obviously.
Not the real fans.
Yes.
There are real fans that go, shout out Jake. But Jake and Avery Zaretsky, they went to the game. They are the realest Ranger fans I know. Trust me.
You got the white collar guys. The guys sitting in suits in a playoff game.
You got the suits where every time someone touches the ground, they're looking for a penalty when it's clearly not.
Yeah. And
that's all I'll say.
I think that's a big key for them. That's a big key for them, because home ice advantage is huge. I mean, I know it's a different sport, but when you look what happened with Trey Turner sort of last year, they were booing him. He was batting 197. He gets a standing ovation. It finishes finishes the year batting 400. I obviously, getting crowd support is a huge impact on sports. And when you lose a home crowd in the third period of a game I know you're down, 3-1, 4-1? You've seen the Rangers score 3-4 goals in a period that, it's nothing. They've done it this entire year. They've had so many third period comeback victories. And it's just something that's in their nature. But when the fans aren't on their side, it's a lot harder to win hockey games. It really is.
It is. But I do want to look back last year. We remember Vegas up 3-0. Dallas won the next two. One on the road.
Yeah. It happens.
It happens. It's just that
reverse sweeps are a lot harder than you guys get. All you got to do is get one done. Just get one done.
One game.
And you know what? You know what, Stan? Here's the thing, too. If they do lose in Raleigh and it goes to 7, but they, you know, double overtime, they're staying with them the whole competing, and it's like an unlucky bounce sort of thing, and now you're going back home.
You want to
kill me? I'm just saying. Now you're going back. obviously, that'd be horrible for you. But I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically, something like that happens. As long as they play a good game, you're getting momentum when you're going back home. But if you go into Raleigh and you get shelled in the first period, and something like that happens in the third again where you let up three goals, you're defeated. You're deflated. Now you got to travel. Now you got to go home to, like you said, sort of the suits kind of aspect. Yeah. And they have a bad first. Yeah, they have a bad first period. They can lose the crowd immediately. So I think this game is a time for them, especially these younger guys, to show what they're made of. Go out, play with some physicality. You know, get it done in the first period. That first 10 minutes is crucial. If you could score one of the first 10 minutes, it's over. You win. Score one of the first 10 minutes, I think you win the game.
All right. I mean, just pray. I almost forgot to mention that the Giants schedule leaked, like the entire thing leaked. And I know that Tim, I know that you're feeling a bit oogie inside about the Jets opening on Monday Night Football yet again.
Why are they doing this? What do they want from me here? Like they want these repeat injuries. Stop doing this to me. Stop. Just let me have Monday off. Let me get Monday night off.
Next series, Colorado and Dallas. Dallas takes a commanding 3-1 lead. Colorado, you're kind of just Just blow after blow. The Shushkin being suspended.
Devontaeves is out.
Yeah, Devontaeves is out. Just blow after blow. Wyatt Johnson does it again. We have to give him...
He just turned 21.
We have to give him the Jason Tatum treatment where we're like, he's only 20. Because to me, Wyatt Johnson is 20 for the rest of his life. He's only 20.
He has, I want to say, he scored 11 playoff goals before his 21st birthday, which is fifth all-time for anyone before turning 21.
That is absurd.
Yeah, it's like Jager. Yeah, for some reason, Jordan Stahl is second.
Redacted,
so shout out Jordan Stahl.
But... That name is redacted from this podcast right now.
I hate him. I hate him too.
And I'll give him credit. He's been the best player in the Hurricanes these past.
He's such a pest.
He's a pest.
And he's 6'6", yeah. So there's nothing you can do about it. He just gets the puck.
Winning faceoffs, scoring that big goal.
His neutral zone play is unbelievable. I hate I hate him because I don't have him. There you go.
You got fucking Ray Ferraro being like, Stoll's been given good minutes. I'm like, ugh. Shut up, you Homer. Islander Homer. Shut up. God.
Shout out, Ray.
No, fuck him. Miro Heiskanen gets 3 points in game four. Although it did come at a cost for Dallas, they lose a first liner. Rupe Hintz left in the first period due to an upper body injury. Would it affect them?
It's not over.
It's not over because you're never out with Colorado. You are never out with Colorado.
No, not at all.
Here's the thing, though.
I could see McKinnon having 13 shots on goal next game.
Here's the thing, though. It goes to seven. Pete DeBoer, 8-0 in game sevens.
Yeah, well, obviously, I think, you know, Dallas clearly has the upper hand here. They're up 3-1, but another thing for them is they got Jake Ottinger in net. I mean, that's already a huge bump. You got a world-class goalie behind one of the best teams, I think, up and down we've seen, like, almost of all time. I mean, the way you, if you look at their line, they got, like, Matt Duchene on the third line.
Like,
the way you look at this line, Tyler Seguin, I mean, they're deep. And, yeah, it's going to be hard to beat them, but, again, you can't count Colorado out. You can't.
I believe... They played at night, correct? Because they wanted one game at a time. Because
they wanted to
push that narrative. So now the Rangers are at the standalone game. Great, fun.
It's not a good feeling.
Not a great feeling. Not at all. We'll go back out west. Oilers Canucks. The Oilers have found their answer at goalie. I'll say it.
Yeah. It's
they have found their answer.
This is a weird one.
This is a very weird series.
This is a real weird one.
Everyone and their mother knew that Stuart Skinner was not the answer in goal. I think everyone's well aware of that.
This guy is horrendous.
Terrible.
I mean, he is horrible. He can't save a beach ball. He can't make a save.
I could fucking do better than Stuart Skinner, and I never laced up a pair of skates in my life.
You know what, Stan? And it's crazy because I know people are going to be like, oh, you know, McDavid's not getting it done, whatever. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I honestly feel bad for it because what they're getting in net and what they're getting from the back end. Yeah, I mean, what you're getting from your goaltender and the back end, it's like, how am I supposed to win?
The defense has been terrible. Nurse,
terrible.
CeCe, like, they've been awful. So,
and they're this is not...
Your only sustainable defenseman is Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, and this is not a series where you kind of want to get into a shootout because both of these teams can score goals.
Yeah.
I mean, if they open up play, it's, you know, you got Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, Quinn Hughes, right? These are both loaded teams.
Pettersson, never mind.
Yeah,
but
these are loaded teams.
So, game four, there we go. I can't even think. Was last night Carson Soucy was suspended one game for his hit on McDavid at the end of the game. You thought it was same old Oilers when Vancouver tied that game up late, and then
you got it done.
Blink, and we have a tied series. So again,
yeah, I think
with this goaltending, I don't think any of these teams are fully capable of winning the Stanley Cup final. But you never know.
But the thing I love about this series is the unpredictability because you have literally no idea what's going to happen. Because you can go out and both these goalies could play like AHL goalies next game and save 9 pucks and let up 8 goals each.
Exactly.
And we could be looking at a 9-8 game. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Not a clue.
So
not a clue at all.
It's exciting.
And then last but not least, the Bruins and Panthers. Bruins had a chance. I mean, not the Bruins. Panthers had a chance to end it at home, in front of their home crowd, just get rid of them. But the pesky Bruins are still alive. Before we get to the game last night, your thoughts on the Sam Bennett hit?
Dude, he punched him in the face. It wasn't even a hit.
It wasn't even a hit.
He just skated by and went like that.
The thing is, he hit it so well. Because you saw that
angle,
you saw that one angle where it's like, oh, it looks like a clean hit. Then there's that other angle where he fucking clocked him.
Right, and you got to think about it, too. You got to think about it. They're skating towards the bench. Either referee is either up the play where they can't see what's going on pretty much behind, or they're on the other far side walls. You can't see face to face. He clearly just skates by him and just punches him in the face.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not even...
Yes.
He didn't even,
and even like,
attempt it.
Shout out Paul Maurice for defending his guys, because he straight up was like, nah, that was nothing. Like, that was nothing.
Yeah, I know. That was...
The Bruins let's see another day. Yeah. Are we seeing another collapse-type thing that we saw with when Toronto came back? Because right now it looks like momentum is leaning towards the Bruins, but we've seen Florida get it done on the road.
Right, and it's just one of those things where Florida can kind of just turn it on like that. It's just a snap of the finger for them.
Speaking of libraries, Jesus Christ, the Boston Garden. It sounds like the fans are on 18 at Augusta.
Yeah, it's just...
So quiet. Like a library.
I know, and it's like, why? You know, I'm trying to think of a reason why. I understand, like,
no
Florida's been kind of...
And the one
not,
time
like,
I heard them, they were pulling off the lamest chant on the fuck... Shoot the puck! Shut up!
You're bringing this up now. I was going to mention the Celtics series, but the same thing's going on with that, too. I think Boston fans are starting to lose their mojo a little bit. I think once New England kind of fell off,
Boston,
it's really just been...
Is Boston a bad sports town? Are we calling out Boston being a bad sports town?
You know what? I think they were only a good sports town because the teams were good.
Tom Brady.
I think that's it. That was it. Tom Brady.
Brady, look
at the Red Sox. Who's going to Red Sox games?
The Red Sox.
Who wants to watch that?
I mean, we'll get to baseball, but damn, the Red Sox suck.
Who wants to watch that?
It's a two-horse race in like four of the six divisions. Like, there's really nothing else. But yeah, game six will be... I would assume Friday, since the next two games... Actually, no. They do play Friday. Panthers are favored. But are we buying this home team run here where it's like, okay, but the Panthers have dominated on the road. It's so tough to call these series because it's like... I don't know.
I like Swayman. I know they have Bobrovsky on the other side, but...
Swayman's look good. I mean, he's
going to seven. This is going to seven. This is going to seven. That's
okay.
It's going to seven. It's going to seven.
Remember, we have an episode tomorrow. We're doing this Wednesday and Thursday. I think Thursday. Should we do it after the Ranger game?
That way I got to drive. I got to drive home anyway. So yeah.
So after the Ranger game, like 11:30, you'll get me miserable probably.
It's cool with me because I'm gonna be probably just miserable all day after tonight. 7 p.m. is gonna kill me.
Tough. Let's go to the NBA. The Knicks and the Pacers. Knicks lead 3-2. Horrible. But a classic response after a burn the tape game 4. Great response. Especially with OG out. And I know the whole freaking, you know, role players play better at home. Like, yeah, no shit. Alec Burks led the game with threes. But are we getting the sense of this team's very locked in? Because we saw all the Knicks players' thoughts after game 4, and it was like, this is not who we are. This is not how the fans think of us. This is not how anyone thinks of us. We need to play better. We need to be better. And they were better. Now you go back to Indiana. Can they sort of right that wrong in game 4? I know the theme of today has been righting the wrongs, but
I think they have really taken advantage of how poor the Indiana defense it really is. And it's a lot of ball movement when they pull that double on Brunson, getting the ball to that open guy. And they've been shooting well. I do not see a world where I know it's tough to play. Is it even tough to play in Indiana? I don't think they win.
They were down by as much as 43 in game 4. So
yeah, well, I'm lost by like 35 at home. So I mean,
the Mother's Day massacre.
I don't think they've really faced the Knicks. Like, no, I'm not saying that they haven't, like, you know, faced their challenges. Obviously, Embiid and the Sixers are a good team. The Pacers can score, you know, with the likes of any of them. But like a real sort of like complete, well-rounded team that the Knicks are, they haven't faced off with that yet. And the Pacers to me just can't, they can't beat an actual team. Like this is like a real, this is like a full, well-rounded basketball team. They have defenders, they space the floor well, they have their dominant, you know, ball score with, you know, secondary options. This is what an actual basketball team looks like fundamentally. If you took like the mold, if you took the mold that like San Antonio kind of has, and you just took like Tim Duncan and made him a point guard, essentially, and kind of just revolved. It's pretty much what they're doing down there. Yeah, and I think they're gonna manhandle the Pacers. I think this is gonna be like a 20-point win for them. Honestly, I just I especially after what I saw last game, it's just, dude, if you could shut down, you know, Miles Turner in the paint, make his life a little difficult. And
well, it wasn't the paint that they need to shut him down in. He was, well, I mean, those three threes in a row to start the second half were.
Is that going to happen again? No.
We'll see.
So, Evan Mobley went like 4 or 5 behind the arc in one of those games against Orlando, and then he went like 0 of 5, yeah, you know, flip-flop the day. And Caris LeVert, you spin that wheel, you never know what he's going to play like. So I think it's sort of the same thing, Miles Turner.
Tyrese Haliburton, 13-2-5 on 5 of 9 shooting, shot 1 of 4 from 3.
That is why you're going to win the series. Defense, defense, defense,
defense. Defense wins championships, folks. Let's get to Boston and Cleveland. Tim.
It's not even like Tatum's doing anything to us.
No, he isn't.
Like Dean Wade is locking him up. It's unbelievable what he's been doing these past two games.
Under
Jaylen Brown.
Do you realize his under threes, Jason Tatum, have hit like 9 out of his last 9 or something like that?
They
have crazy.
They haven't given him any space to shoot. It's Jaylen Brown just going to the free throw line every time he touches the ball. I'm losing my mind here. You know, go back to game one.
Don't even get me started with that.
Go back to game, what, they won game two? Go to game three when they lost. Tatum went 4 of like 16 and went like 17 of 25 from the free throw line. So how are we supposed to combat that, especially when half those aren't actual fouls? I don't have an answer. I really don't. And the only way they're going to win this game tonight is if they shoot lights out. If Max Strus can play like Max Strus does in Miami and not like one of the worst defenders and biggest foul takers and shot missers I've ever seen, and Caris LeVert can spin that wheel in his head and not play like Anthony Bennett, play like Michael Jordan again, we got a shot. Because Darius Garland's been playing pretty good these past two games, so we got a shot. But it ain't looking good. It's looking bleak.
It's looking very. I believe Donovan Mitchell is out, and Jared Allen is a game-time
decision.
Yes, he
is not playing tonight.
Oh, this is over. Sorry. It's over.
Donovan Mitchell's been ruled out tonight.
It's over. Denver and Minnesota. After watching game 4, there we go. This is how terrible I am at math. This is a real sign of how terrible I am at math. Like simple
but sports math, like
simple mental
if
math
I give you,
I suck at.
You know what's crazy though? Like if I give you like an AAV, if I give you like a contract breakdown and I was like, yo, like do this per year and get all the numbers and like if I gave you some bullshit like that,
like,
you'd be like, oh yeah, the Yankees have like $16 million cap
it's
for
like,
the next.
It's like Kevin in The Office. When he doesn't,
when it's about pies,
it's about pies. Yep. Like he doesn't like know anything, like any math. But if you put it in pies, like he knows it exactly.
Or it's like Drake and Josh when they're riding the Demonator.
Yes,
he's like, you could do all that in your head, but you can't do math. And he's like, this is important.
This is important. Yeah, really. Game 4, it reminded us how detrimental Aaron Gordon is for the Denver Nuggets. We can say all we want about Nikola Jokic, all we want about Jamal Murray. When Aaron Gordon is cooking, there's no stopping this Denver Nuggets team.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing was with the whole Lakers series is they couldn't stop Michael Porter Jr. And they'd done a good job of slowing him down, forcing bad shots, but you flip that, you shut down Michael Porter Jr., then you activate Aaron Gordon. So it's like with this Nuggets team, they're so deep in this 5 that you shut down one scorer, they got another, you know, another option that turns into a second option. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know what? Not even second option. Because you got Jamal Murray, you know, playing point guard. Like, every time the playoffs roll around, he's the best player on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. The Timberwolves,
so
I mean, in game 4, they were minus 13 in the 2 minutes and 40 seconds that Anthony Edwards sat. That's fucking ridiculous. They also need Jaden McDaniels to get it going. 2 of 12 from 3 series. That's killer.
Horrible. That was a big problem. Big reason, you know, they were successful last series, and now you got this. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, really. poor Rudy Gobert, man. I feel bad. I kind of feel bad. Like, there's, like, what's he supposed to do?
What is there's he no, there's to no do? Answer. There's no answer. But it's hard. It's hard. Like, he's getting cooked by Jokic, but he's the DPOY, so it's like
he's the defensive player. Like, so it's like, I don't understand.
Nah, I just
I don't.
No one can guard this man. You can't. It's so crazy him playing basketball. Yeah, it's actually insane.
Unbelievable. OKC and Dallas. It seemed like this was Dallas's series to lose. They choke away game four. They at home. They finished 12 of 21 from the free throw line and missed three free throws in the final 61 seconds of the game. Tough. That's a tough way to go.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
That's not good.
It's a tough way to go. And now here you are. You were going to go to OKC up 3-1. Now it's 2-2. OKC is the home court advantage. It's a three-game series now.
Yeah. It's so weird though, because it's like we don't give Luka Doncic enough credit for what he does
playing,
in the playoffs,
and he's
especially
playing hurt too.
Yeah, like he elevates his game to another level. And Kyrie Irving,
PJ Washington,
where the hell is even Milwaukee? Where the hell have these guys been? Like, I mean, it seems like it took like 2 years off, and they're like, yeah, we'll come back now. Yeah. We'll start playing meaningful basketball.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't understand. Don't understand. Two games tonight, obviously. Your Cavs, 7 o'clock. Are you even...
Incoming Cavalanche, fingers crossed.
OKC and Dallas.
It was a seven-point game last game.
All right,
They did cut it close at some point.
Backdoor cover.
You know what, though? You know, for tonight, it's a huge thing on Bickerstaff's adjustments, because they take 3 steps forward and then they take 10 steps back when they put guys like Georges Niang in for 13 minutes. So let's figure out what tonight's plan is going to be, and let's...
I gotta ask you this. Is this the last game we see JB Bickerstaff as Cavaliers head coach? Because there's been the rumors all year. If they underperform
no,
the playoffs, his job's on the line.
Yeah, it's tough now, because obviously we went into the playoffs without an all-star center. That hurts. That hurts a lot. And now your main source of offense is not playing either. Yeah. It's tough, especially, you know, what he had to go through this year. They played pretty much the whole year hurt. They did not have a full roster of guys until, I want to say, to finish out the season, which, when they were fully healthy, they sucked.
Yeah.
they sucked. They got healthy and sucked, which is not something that you're used to seeing. I think he made great adjustments to start the year. He did what he needed to do to keep this team moving along. I'd like to see him come back for another year, but honestly, it depends on the personnel, because we don't know what Donovan Mitchell's going to do. I don't know who's going to come in and replace that. I hear a little buzz around Kyle Kuzma's name. Does that really excite me? No, but you know, at least we can get rid of Max Strus there.
Kyle Kuzma.
I just.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Kuzma?
No,
Kuzma in them?
Yeah. It adds a scoring option, a little bit of height, which I like. Okay, I guess.
Unreal.
But I don't know.
Is that Kuzma in them?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I hope they get him now.
We just got to figure out after tonight, win a game, and then see where we go from here.
All right. The draft lottery was Sunday. That's when you know that the league doesn't give a shit about this draft class, is that they're having the draft lottery on a Sunday. And usually
that
would mean a good thing.
They should.
But like this
they
really
they should care about it, Stan.
You think
they should, because Alexander Sarr is gonna be a fucking stud.
He's gonna be good.
He's gonna be a stud.
He's gonna be good. Atlanta, they had a 3% chance of getting the number one pick. They get it. There were a lot of questions for the Hawks going into this offseason. And now I think it's much easier.
Trae Young's out the door, Young. Get out of here, Trae.
I think you keep him now.
I don't know.
Him
I think this is
him and Sarr might be lethal. At least they have a core to build around. Trae Young, you possibly could get Alexander Sarr. Jalen Johnson was much improved this year. Same with Onyeka Okongwu. DeJounte Murray, too.
Well, that's my thing. I think that's why Trae Young's expandable. I think
that's
you could
true.
Put a guy like DeJounte Murray as a true point guard, and I feel like that would affect their backcourt in a positive way, because how many shots does Trae Young take that
a
he
lot.
Doesn't make? I know, like...
A lot.
Yeah. And that's... It's not really going to work out when your team is kind of... So, I think... I know the huge Lakers speculation of him going there because, you know, Lakers fans are crazy.
Yes.
But it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, honestly. If they can figure out a way to package it, else, you know.
It's going to be so easier now to sell the rebuild now. Like, hey, we get the number one pick. We got a guy to build around. this freaking seven-foot French dude. Like, really.
Who can shoot, who who's can mobile, shoot, who's athletic.
Literally, 7 foot mobile, can shoot, he can do everything.
I really think this is going to be, like, one of those undervalued first overall picks that you kind of look in this draft, you're like, eh, and there's that one guy that, like, sparks out. I think he might be, it might be him and...
Exactly.
Although shout out Cody Williams. Cody Williams, my sleeper mid-round.
He's gonna be good.
Mid-round draft pick. That's my guy. I think he's gonna really show out. Yeah, I think he's great defensively and he's athletic. So
do you know who I think is going to be the best college player out of this draft? Like, we look back 5 years, we're basically gonna be like, we're gonna say that Stephon Castle was the best college player coming out of this draft. I'm gonna say it. He has He has everything except for the shot. And once NBA shooting coaches can fix his shot, he's going to be a fucking lethal player.
And you know what? That's the huge thing about today's sort of NBA is that you look back where a guy didn't have a shot. You didn't even develop his shot. You developed every, like John Wall. Look at John Wall, for example. You went straight to his drive game. But imagine John Wall sat back, developed his jump shot a little bit while still incorporating that. John Wall could still be playing in the NBA.
He could.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's a different game now.
He could. Other winners, the San Antonio Spurs. They now have two lottery picks, 4 and 8, which is instant ammo to build around Wembanyama. It seems like the rich are getting richer here.
Do you move 4?
I think you move at least one of them because you want that veteran
presence. You have to.
You want that veteran presence. Because you are.
Now, who do they go after?
Exactly. Like, I have no. Like, who's disgruntled right now?
Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, like, Kuzma. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't really know. Could you see Klay Thompson maybe stepping in there? I don't think he'd like to, but maybe sign him and then trade, make that.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe sign him and then you could trade for not like a shooter necessarily, more of a younger wing guy.
I think he's more of a fit in Orlando.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Do I think he's going to go there? I don't know. I feel like the Bay might throw him some money just for like what he is.
It's over. But I think the Klay Thompson marriage is over.
I think they are so like screwed. I don't think Golden State fans like got to start coming to terms with that. Like
they're done.
Once Steph's done, like this is it.
Like, you, yeah,
who,
really.
Who's the next guy up? Kuminga?
Kuminga. other winners, the Houston Rockets. The James Harden trade continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. That was the Nets. That wasn't even their pick. That wasn't even their pick. The Nets gave him the number three pick. And now they have a chance to get someone. Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham.
Dillingham, I think, would be nice there.
I mean, Reed Sheppard. Let me just say this. If you were to tell me back in November, when I saw this Reed Sheppard kid ball out against fucking Kansas in the Champions Classic in November, that Reed Sheppard was going to be the first college player taken out of this draft, I would have laughed in your face. But here I am now. Reed Sheppard might be the first college player taken out of this draft class.
That's just how it goes.
I mean, he has everything. He can jump. He can shoot. He's athletic. I mean, what more would you want from him?
Right. But now looking at this Rockets roster and what they got, you know, scheming around, they got Jalen Green, Sengun. Like, what do they need?
Van Fleet.
What is that one position that they're missing?
Jabari Smith Jr. too.
But what is it? Small forward? They need a small forward. Is that where Jabari they need? You know,
it might be. I mean, there are rumors that they're looking to trade back, so maybe we might be seeing a guy like Cody
Williams
going to the Rockets.
Yep. I feel like that'd be a great fit defensively for them, too, because they got a ton of scorers, and he's great perimeter defender.
Yeah. Losers of the draft lottery. The Detroit Pistons.
This is unbelievable for
them. This is the second consecutive year that the Detroit Pistons have finished with the worst record in the NBA and have gotten the fifth pick.
I don't, and honestly, like, I just feel bad because I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is for them, at all.
Like you, there's a glimmer. There's a glimmer because of who your head coach is and the player you're building around. There's your glimmer.
But you gotta feel bad for Kate. This guy efficiently scores like 40 for them, and they lose by 25 because nobody else can score.
And they're gonna. I'm not big on Matas Buzelis either.
Dude, they're screwed. I feel bad for Pistons fans. This is gonna be another year of disappointment. I don't know. And the thing is, they don't have like anything really attractive for the free agents to want to go there.
They don't. It's Detroit.
There's no. And they're not like Houston, like you said, where you have a bright, you know, something building.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they got Cade and just have been stationary because you drafted Killian Hayes and
the draft picks guys that they've picked aside from Cade
aren't good.
Jaden Ivey is not the player that we thought he was going to be. We can kind of say the same thing about Jalen Duren as well. Like there's really, you got to.
Killian Hayes is just.
Don't even get me started with Killian Hayes. I'm not even a Pistons fan.
One of the worst picks.
I'm not even a Pistons fan. And I like want to punch the wall when I hear about fucking Killian Hayes.
I lost my mind when that person's like, I flew in from Germany to watch my favorite player, Killian Hayes, play. And he went like 40 minutes. He played like, what, 30 minutes on the floor, like 2 points. I mean, like 3 turnovers. This guy just can't do anything.
That guy has to be an industry plant. There's no way. There's no way that guy's an industry. That guy's an industry. Like, he went to go see Killian Hayes play, like, with his own will. No shot.
No.
Industry plant. Yeah. Other losers. The Toronto Raptors. Their pick conveyed to San Antonio because it was top six protected. That was a tanking masterclass, only to have it ruined.
Yeah, that's tough. That's how the NBA draft goes.
Tough scene. And then last but not least, the Blazers. They had two chances to get into the top four and got 7-14. This is the sixth straight year where the team with the worst record in the NBA does not get the top pick. Which basically means tank at your own risk.
Yeah, I guess this is their way to like combat tanking. But at the same time, were the Pistons even tanking? I think they were literally trying to win basketball games. I just think they.
Remember that game against the Knicks? Remember that game against the
Knicks?
Monty Williams was having a conniption over that no
call. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So I don't think this is why I feel for Pistons fans and the Pistons organization itself, because I don't think they're intentionally trying to lose for feels like
for
10 years straight.
Capital. Yeah, like it doesn't feel
for,
like that.
Because the last time
they made the playoffs, 2019, I want to say.
I don't even
Yeah, the
it up.
Blake Griffin year. I remember this.
Yeah, well, he was
they were like an 8 seed against the Bucks. Every single game in that series was on NBA TV. I just remember that.
Yep, 2019. What did they got swept?
Yeah, they probably did. Yeah. At least they either got swept or lost the first three, game four, and lost five.
They got swept.
Oh, they got swept. Oh, God. Poor Detroit, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So baseball. We got ourselves a two-horse race in four of the six divisions right now. I feel like this needs to be addressed. Because in the AL East, you have Baltimore and the Yankees. Well, the Yankees and Baltimore, if we want to go standings order. Yankees in first place. Hell right. Great day to be a New Yorker.
Congrats. I got the two best teams in the entire Major League Baseball just kicking our ass and sitting three spots ahead of us. It's got to play them how many times a year?
It's May 15th. In the AL West.
Yeah. And
the AL West.
May 15th. And fucking Philly's got, what, two of the top three Cy Young award voting, whatever, right
Wheeler,
now. You know? Ranger Suarez and
Christopher Sanchez.
Whatever, just they're pissing me off. That game got boiled in my blood when they blew that game. But
I had Philly's money line, but they
I was
got
slamming hosed. The steering wheel.
They got hosed. It was bad. How do you get hosed? So bad. In the AL West, it seems like Seattle and Texas, although Texas has kind of fallen off a little bit. Seattle's taking that top run in the AL West. And at least you have the Braves and the Phillies. And then in the NL Central, it's really the Brewers and the Cubs. If you were to tell me that the Brewers and the Cubs would be... I would have believed you if it was the Cubs, but the Brewers out of nowhere.
Not the Brewers. I didn't expect that.
The only two divisions where it's not really a two-horse race is the AL Central. And that's just a blood...
It's a four-man race.
That's just a bloodbath.
Whoever wins that week is in first place. That's literally just how it's
really
been going.
And then the NL West, where it's just the Dodgers and the rest. So We're in for a we're in for a fun August and September. We are in for a August and September.
Before we really get to anything, because now we're talking about standings. What the hell is wrong with the Houston Astros? What the hell is wrong with them?
I think it's, well, we just saw their, I mean, their best pitcher just got suspended for 10 games.
10 games, illegal substance. That's great.
No wonder he threw that no-hitter. Like, really? Part of it's pitching. Part of it's sort of, I think it's more like this core is on its last run. And I just don't think that can really...
But the thing is, last run, they're kind of young. I mean, they're really not that old.
Altuve's on his last contract. I believe Bregman's in.
How old's Kyle? How old's Kyle Tucker? You got Jordan. Jeremy Peña, shortstop.
But Peña didn't have really. Peña didn't really have a good year last year.
What do their averages look like? Because a lot for them is they haven't really been hitting with runners in scoring position.
Let's see.
Hitting a lot of home runs.
Houston Astros.
I want to see what this
stats. Let's see.
Yep, 17
right now.
Although they have been a little bit of a heater, but tough.
They've won a couple games, but this is still like a big hole to climb out of.
Yeah, like,
this is
5.5 games.
Yeah,
the Oakland's ahead of them.
Oakland, yeah, really, the Oakland A's are ahead of them. OPS leaders, you got Kyle Tucker nearly at 1,000. You got Jose Altuve at 873. Jeremy Peña at 825. Jordan Alvarez at 774. Yenir Diaz at 690. And Alex Bregman at 651.
Stan, their team batting average is .261. They got three guys batting .300.
Bregman hasn't really stepped up much. Like, Bregman hitting .225. That's not really his type. That's not really his type of game.
But Peña's hit
part of it too is
329.
Part of it too is the pitching. The pitching hasn't really been up to par. I know Verlander had like 8 strikeouts the last game, if I'm not mistaken. But we look at the pitching. Ronel Blanco suspended for 10 games. We mentioned him
Hunter
before.
Brown's ERA 7.
Hunter Brown just is rejoining the rotation after having a stint in the bullpen. Framber Valdez, he's come back. He was sharp.
Hater's got a 4.74. Yeah.
Javier's back, but he got fucking shelled. Like, there's really the only bright spot here really is Justin Verlander. And Justin Verlander, he's 41. He's 41. That shouldn't be your bright spot. And plus,
but it's so confusing.
The bullpen has not been good.
Well, that was what I was just going to get to because, look at the past. Their bullpen for these past, World Series runs, playoff runs, has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, you had guys like Presley come and shut down games. That's just what happens.
I mean, Presley's still on the team, but now he's an eighth inning guy.
Obviously, but look at Josh Hader. Now you throw Hader and he's got a 4.74.
Yeah. That's where
I guess. Figure it out.
Speaking of struggling teams. My God, do the St. Louis Cardinals suck? And same with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays aren't that good either.
You know what's crazy, dude? Cardinals come in, play the Mets. I knew this was going to happen when they played them too. They just completely destroyed us. I hate the fact that live a life.
Didn't you win a series against them?
What? And we lost one. Stan,
You
want to hear something? My dad says this all the time too, Stan. Ever since that Yadier Molina home run.
Oh, it's just.
It's it. They got us. That's it. They've got us.
You got them. But the Blue Jays have not looked good. The Cardinals have not looked good. Paul Goldschmidt has looked terrible.
He's old.
That's a good answer. He's old. That's
like 37 years old.
Yeah. Yankees in Minnesota. They won last night. We continue to own the Twins. Nice 5-1 victory. Mets drop 2 to Philly. They go back to Philly.
Jeez. 6:40 tonight.
Today. Are they doing that because they're playing each other in London, so they're, like, trying to even it up?
I honestly have no idea.
I mean, that would only that would make the most sense, really, if they're...
I can't wait for them to go to London for me to wake up and watch them get, I can't even believe they got one hit the other night, and the last hit was a 2-0 solo shot from J.D. Martinez. This team, it's just the Mets, dude. I don't get it. I really don't. And if you're not a Mets fan or a New Yorker, like, you just don't understand it either. But once you
I do want to get to one name that will be a hot topic this summer, and that is Mason Miller. Because if this kid's getting traded, where the hell is he going to go? Because there's one team that I have in mind that's going to get him, and I'm so afraid. I think it's the Baltimore Orioles.
I was just going to say, I was literally just going to say that. I was going to cut you off and say that. I think so too. I think it makes the most sense. They got so many assets to give up.
They have assets. The bullpen hasn't really been the best. I know Bautista's been out for the year with Tommy John. You get a rookie reliever with control that's been absolutely lights out all year. And he's with a team that, let's all be honest here, doesn't really give a fuck. Like, let's all be honest. Their reveal for the ballpark that they're playing in Sacramento, their owner literally said, I can't wait to see players like Aaron Judge hit home runs here. He's basically saying, I cannot wait to watch other teams kick my team's ass here. That's what he's saying.
The biggest FU to ownership in this organization is if this ace team, for some reason, they stink.
They suck. But they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs last year and brought back the same team. If not, they made it an addition and got Tim Anderson.
Well, I mean, he's bet what? He's 170 at 171 players this year, like OPS.
Yeah, but still, he's
horrendous.
He fits the scheme, like fucking makes
contact.
He's
got five home runs since like 2021, 2022.
I'm trying to make a negative into a positive here.
They got no bright spots here. Yeah. I just think the funniest thing to this organization and ownership is if the A's can somehow just go to the playoffs.
They will.
And like, no. But I'm saying, say they make it, and this boycott of the Coliseum, whatever. No one. They all just go to the parking lot, and nobody goes inside the game.
That would be the biggest
FU to the ownership, because all the money they would make from these playoff games gone out the window. And this is what they're trying to do: make money. So if they continue this boycott, that would be hilarious, especially if the A's won, and you could hear them cheering from the parking lot.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. Yeah, so the Yankees, yesterday was their first of 13 straight games being played. First of 13. I know. Mets, on the other hand, they have Philly, and then do they go on a road trip? I would just
tell you yes, right they go. Now. Yeah, Miami.
All right. Got 2 out of 3. Miami.
How the hell did they blow that game in the ninth inning? I don't.
You got hosed, number one. That Diaz just couldn't locate. He couldn't locate.
Throwing that fucking slider. Stop throwing the fucking slider.
This is the best pitch.
Yeah, it's not, though. It's not. Because all the home runs he lets up is on that goddamn slider when he hangs it right down the middle.
He's blown two saves all year. Like, no closers.
We're in May? And he's had the same amount of home runs he let up in 22 that he does now on May 15th.
Fair. All right. Before we get to the PGA Championship, the NFL schedule is set to be revealed in about 2 hours and 30 minutes at the time that we were recording this. The Giants schedule leaked. So that's fun.
Yeah, they were just like, fuck it, just put it out there, who cares?
So here it is. First two games of the year, we're going up against rookie quarterbacks. We're going up against J.J. McCarthy at home, and then we're going to Landover to go up against Jaden Daniels. Weeks 3 through...
Hey, Loki, you might start 2-0. I mean...
But weeks 3 through 8 is hell. Like, actual hell. You ready for this?
Yeah.
At Cleveland. Home against Dallas. Home against Dallas on Thursday night football.
Yeah, they're going to kick your ass. They always do at home.
At Seattle.
No, but it'll be close, I think. It'll be close.
Home against the Bengals on Sunday night football.
You know what? You don't know. Because
you don't know.
Someone might get hurt. You don't know. You really have no clue with them.
And then home against the Eagles, it'll be Saquon's return.
No, he's going to have like 200... something rushing yards, and it's gonna suck.
And then at Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's not gonna be fun.
Then there,
depends. I mean, if Russell Wilson, you really never know.
Injuries, and then week 9 home against Washington. Week 10,
dub.
We're going to Munich, taking on the Panthers.
Are Oh, dub. That is the worst. They might be the worst football team I've seen on. They are the horrendous.
The only thing that worries me about, I mean, I'm not like worried about the Carolina Panthers. Look out though, because they made a very good hire with Dave Canales. They made a very, very good hire with Dave Canales. He was the quarterback's coach with Seattle when Geno, during the Geno season, like when Geno finally bursted on, he fixed. He got Baker Mayfield paid when he was the OC at Tampa.
But is it really like, is that, that's, I mean, great, but that's your big acquisition? Like, that's the bright spot you have? It's like saying, like, Mitch Korn for the Isles is their bright spot. Like, their goaltender coach.
Mitch Korn. Jesus Christ. Week 11 is our bye. Home against Tampa.
You never know. You really never know.
At Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Ah, geez, dude. You're getting these Dallas games when you really shouldn't be.
It's so weird that we're playing the Cowboys twice and they're both. I mean, it's not weird that we're playing the Cowboys twice. We do it every year. It's weird that we're playing them both on Thursday, both times on a Thursday. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, prime time too. Yeah.
Weird to me. Home against the Saints. Doable. I think that's doable with the defense we have. It's doable.
I'm not really writing the Giants off here. I think there's a lot of rookie quarterbacks this year that they're going to have some growing pains. And I think
the defense is kind of just what's going to help us win games. Because right now, if you're like
look
that,
at the Jets.
That front line, the front line for Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns. Like, holy shit.
Look at what the Jets did last year with Zach Wilson at quarterback. And let's all be honest, Daniel Jones is a much better quarterback than Zach Wilson ever was.
Here's my thing with Daniel Jones. There's no, like, middle ground. Like, there's no middle ground with Daniel Jones. Either you have the people at the top that think that he has the capability of being a top 10 quarterback, and then there's the zero middle ground, and then you have the people that think that he shouldn't even be touching a football. Like, there's no middle ground with Daniel Jones.
Well, it's because you look what he does. They go, you know, 2 years ago, boom, win that game in Minnesota playoff game. It was a great year.
Such an easy schedule, though. That's the thing.
I know, but it's like then you look at last year.
Yeah, exactly.
He got hurt. Yeah,
and
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, again, I'm not writing him off.
I'm treading lightly. I'm kind of just like,
yeah. He's your starting quarterback. That's where I'm at right now.
What if he's not ready? We might be getting a Drew Lock week one start if Daniel Jones is not ready.
That is worst case scenario. I don't think you realize that. I don't think you realize how bad Drew Lock is at quarterback.
Won a fucking game for the Seahawks on national television.
Dude, he lost. Drew Lock lost every quarterback race he was ever a part of. I mean, they brought Geno in. Honest, and if you look back on that, they brought Geno in as a safety blanket. They were like, all right, we'll have a good backup if he gets hurt. You know, I know this is, and he just blows him out of the water. And the same thing happened when he was with the Broncos. He did nothing. But it's, you know, it's big cock Drew Lock, so
horse cock.
I can't. There you go. Horse cock Drew Lock. There you go.
I'm doing the fucking thing. Final four games. Home against the Ravens. Never know. They're bipolar. They're very bipolar.
Yeah. No, especially towards the end of the year. You're right. Towards the end of the year, more so than.
This is on my birthday. At Atlanta.
That will be a good game. That is a good game.
All right. Home against Indianapolis and then at Philly to finish off the year. It has been revealed the other Thanksgiving games. There will be Bears at Lions, Giants at Cowboys, Dolphins at Packers. That's interesting.
I've never even heard
that.
All right.
That's an interesting one. Jet news. You guys have 7 standalone games in the first 11 weeks. Week one. Yeah, really. You do.
Monday Night Football.
Week one. Monday Night Football. I know. At San Francisco. Week 3, home against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football. Week 5, against the Vikings in London. Week 6, the Bills home on Monday Night Football. The next week, you go on Sunday Night Football against Pittsburgh. Week 9, Thursday Night Football against the Texans. And Week 11, Sunday Night Football against the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to say, speaking of the Colts, I pray that Anthony Richardson is fully healthy. I pray. Because no...
Yeah, well, for theirs.
For their sake and for his sake, because he's a damn good fucking quarterback.
With well, the way that's he, what I'm saying. The way for their sake, they need him.
The way he was playing before they got before he got hurt, holy shit.
He's like a freight train who throws the football.
Exactly. The Black Friday game will be the Raiders traveling to Kansas City. Christmas. Christmas football for the next 3 years on Netflix. We have the Ravens at the Texans, and then the Chiefs at the...
Oh, God.
And then the
Netflix?
Netflix. I don't care. You put fucking football
in. Who's going to be in the booth?
I don't know. They'll find
somebody. They got Leah Hextall up there.
Yeah, really. Ravens at Texans, Chiefs at Steelers. That's going to be... Those are some pretty good games.
Those are great games.
Those are phenomenal games. And then...
Steelers are going to be good. Steelers are going to be real good.
And then, the big news of the day... Finally, they agree, the Giants are going to be on a version of Hard Knocks. This is not your actual Hard Knocks. This is actually going to be...
Is this the mid-season one?
No, it's a new one. It's an off-season version. So cameras followed them from January up until the draft or something like that. So we're going to see... I pray that the cameras were on when Wink Martindale got fired and no one could find him. I pray. Oh my God, that'd be must-see television. We're gonna see Saquon being let go. We're gonna see the trade for Brian Burns. Us taking Malik Nabers at 6. I'm excited. I like it. It's about time that we were involved in something like this. And it was also weird because we were like,
"More football."
It's that number two. It was sort of like, okay, where? Because last year they dropped all the freaking draft videos and combine interviews, and then this year there was nothing of it. And I was like, fuck, Mara probably put the kibosh on it. But no, HBO hasn't. I'm excited. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, it goes from January to July. So they're probably still filming it right now. First episode premieres July 2nd. Very excited. Very excited. I love it.
Damn, they're going to put that out quick.
I know. I'm excited. I'm so excited. All right.
Oh, it's gonna be a good show.
PGA Championship. This week, Valhalla. Before we get to that, I think Rory McIlroy is an auto bet.
100%. That man just got divorced. His entire life now is going straight to this golf tournament.
Do we realize he broke up with Caroline Wozniacki? In 2014, after that, he won the PGA Championship. Where was the PGA Championship, Tim, in 2014?
It was, say it with me, Stan.
Valhalla Golf Club. Valhalla. In Louisville, Kentucky.
He is going to kick ass. I am telling you right now, this is the guy to put all of your chips. I know other, you know, there's other golfers out there, you know, obviously making a name for themselves, you know, this is PGA Tour, but my God, this guy has everything that you want, that you wanted him to do realistically to win, like get really psyched yourself in. He's completely done it. Just filed for divorce.
Yep.
Been hitting on the range since then. This guy's going to be hitting nukes.
Can't wait. So we're going to do the same thing that we did for the Masters last year. We're going to pick five winners. And then just go from there. We'll have the make the cut parlay. We will have a three.
Well, yeah, do that first, Dan. Let me hear that make the cut parlay.
Because it hit last time.
Yeah, let me hear that.
It hit last time.
Yeah.
All right, let me.
Why don't you let him know, Stan?
Let me pull it up. Here we go. Brooks Koepka. Bryson DeChambeau. Cam Young. Tony Finau.
Okay.
Shane Lowry.
Yep.
Chris Kirk.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Kurt Kitayama. Keith Mitchell.
Okay, I actually do like that one.
Patrick Reed. Keegan Bradley.
I love that Keegan Bradley slipping at the end. I can't disagree with a single one you just picked.
It's doable. It hit the Masters last time. And you can get it roughly.
It's really doable.
You can get it roughly at 28-1. I got it like 27-1 somewhat. put $10 on it, you win $280.
There you go.
I believe the Preakness is this weekend too, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it is too, actually.
If I'm not mistaken. I did put 15 down on that. I had a bad beat. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So we all know the horse that won the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah.
Mystic Dan. For those who don't know,
yeah,
that's actually my name. My name is not Stan.
My buddy threw a dollar on it for me. He won $16.
Okay. So listen. I'm moving out of school the day of the Kentucky Derby, and I was all in on Catching Freedom. All in. Never went to Mystic Dan because my assumption was, why would I ever bet myself on a race? Like, no, I would never do that.
Fair enough, yeah.
My mom was like, hey, can I Venmo you $20 on Mystic Dan? I was like, yeah, sure. She made like $350.
I was going to say, yeah, she paid out. Stan, if I put a dollar on it at 116, she got paid out nice.
There was like $600 in my FanDuel account. And I was like, ah!
You should be like, Mom, I can give this to you now, or I can give this to you now, or you can give me a week and I'll triple your profit.
Wait for the make the cut parlay to hit on the at Valhalla, and then I'll get back to you.
I have this algorithm where I can get the score of every college basketball game.
You just gotta wait at least 8 months.
just trust me.
You just gotta wait. All right. Let's go to our winners for the PGA Championship. We're picking five. Tim. I mean, one, two,
I would be,
three. I'm trying. Yeah, there we go. All right, we got. I have five, but one of them I'm not betting before. Like, before it starts, if you get what I mean. Like, I'm betting them live.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. Gotcha.
All right. First off, Brooks Koepka at 16-1. I'm all in on him, you know, defending PGA champion. The big difference for him compared to Masters Week, to the Masters, he's coming in much better form. It's a fair number for a guy who consistently shows up in majors. He's placing top 10, top 15, possibly even top 5. Three of his five majors came at the PGA Championships. If there's anyone in this field who can take down Scottie Scheffler during this crazy run that he's been on, Brooks Koepka's at the top of the list.
I love it. I'm not going to include Scottie in my five because
exactly. There's
just
no value.
There's no value. It's just like as much as I want, you know, other guys to win, like I still in this like little bubble where I see it hard for him to lose.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to put that out there. My first pick, I'm actually going to go with Ludwig. I think he was great in the Masters. Yeah, I think if he gets off to a slow start, that might make the most sense to make some good profit on him. But yeah, he's been balling out recently. I think. What is he at? What's his odds at now?
I don't know what his odds is now.
Plus 2,000.
Yeah, something like that. Here's the thing: why I'm betting him live. It's because of his knee injury and him dropping out of the Wells Fargo. Because if he's not 100% healthy,
right,
there's really, I don't think he's got a shot. I'll be watching him closely.
Yeah, but you know what? I think
I'll watch.
Plays a little factor in why he's at the plus 2,000.
He might
jump up. You know, he might
I'll
jump
watch
up.
His like first three holes, and if he looks good, I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll drop some on Ludwig. But if there's really like,
I'll peek the practice round. We got to peek the practice round. That's what we got to see first.
We need a practice round and then see how it goes. So Ludwig was my second as well. Who's your second, Tim?
I'm taking Cameron Smith. This for me, because he's at plus 3,500. It's huge value. You know, Cameron Smith, obviously a great golfer, but it's just a gut thing for me here. He hasn't really won much in a while.
He has.
And, I think this is a time for him to step up. He just, you know, I mean, in what? In the LIV Singapore tournament, came in tied for second. Yeah. That was his last tournament out, which is... pretty good. Finished with a 64 in his last round. Allendale, 14th. But I think this is his time to show up and show out. I think he's going to step in and just play decent golf, have a good tournament.
All right.
Manage the course.
My third, Bryson DeChambeau at 25-1. His performance at the
Masters. Boy was hitting tanks in the range.
His performance at the Masters is very eye-opening, and Valhalla suits him much better because you can boom it in Valhalla. I think he made a few mistakes that took him out of contention at the Masters. Otherwise, this is a much this would be a much different. He'd probably be my first golfer if he didn't make those mistakes that he made at Augusta, if I'm being honest. And it'd be a much different. It would not be 25-1. I'll tell you that. I like Bryson DeChambeau here. He played good golf at Augusta. He's been playing good golf in LIV as well. Bryson DeChambeau, 25-1.
It's a good pick. I'm going to go with my third pick. I'm going to take Victor Hovland. I like Victor Hovland at I got him at plus 4,000. Yeah, obviously, you know, again, a guy who really hasn't won too much of recent, but his name's usually around the top, and I think another chance for him to prove who he is as a golfer. He's great on the greens. He could putt really well. If he could just, you know, stick to that true.
He just needs one major. He just needs one major.
That's it. That's all he needs.
He was always, like, in the pack, and then we saw what happened at the PGA in Rochester last year where he got stuck in the bunker.
There's just things, there's little things that go wrong for him. This is just, I think this is the time where he could just maybe have a smooth first two rounds and finish strong. That's all I'm hoping for here.
That's what we're all hoping for. My fourth golfer, Cam Young at 45-1. The numbers are pointing right to him. He's another guy with an elite driver. He has some of the best approaches on the tour. The real test for him is if he can just close it out. That's always been his struggle. If he can close it out in the back nine, he's played in two PGA championships, finished third in one of them, and missed the cut in the other. There's a large range of outcomes for him, but he has a very high ceiling if he can manage to not give up strokes on the green. If he can hit his putts, close out in the back nine, I could see a top 15. I could see a top 15, maybe even a top 10 finish.
I like it. I'm going to go with my fourth. I'm going to go with Patrick Cantlay.
Ooh.
I think what is he at? Plus something pretty high. But he has been playing pretty decent golf of recent. Came in third in the RBC. I know Wells Fargo wasn't great for him. He finished 29th. But he did have a good final round. And that RBC was just, I mean, he was
good,
lights out. 67, 66, 60, 68, 68. Won a big purse from that. I think he's still maybe a little riding that high. It was only, a month ago? So,
yeah.
Come out strong. Let's see what he can
do. Is it weird to say that my long shot is one of my favorite picks? Because for me, it is. And it's Shane Lowry at 120
Will's
to
outdoors?
1. Shane Lowry at 120-1. I think it's just too big of a number. He has a outstanding track record at the PGA Championship since 2018, and that's due to in part of his consistent driving. Long iron play leaves a bit to be desired, but he hits a lot of greens, scores very well on par fives. A guy like him can do enough to stay close, especially if the leading score is within reason. Because if Scottie Scheffler is doing his thing, I don't think anyone's going to stop him. But
yeah,
if the score's within reason, Shane Lowry's got a shot. And he's coming off of that high winning the, what's the two golfer thing called? Oh, the Zurich Challenge.
Yes.
Winning that with Rory McIlroy, who also looks like the best golfer in the world right now.
Yeah, but, well, that's, there you go. I mean, that's another thing.
We'll see. But I really like Shane Lowry. And that's my five. Tim, your fifth.
It may be a little off the board, but is it really? He had a great interview. He said he still has some juice left in him. I can't rule him out. I got Tiger Woods at like plus 150 to 1 odds.
Tiger!
He said he has some left in him. All he needs to do is really just focus up and dial in. He's been so committed to getting back to where he was. I know obviously he's never going to reach there, but maybe he can. We've seen some Tiger magic go to 2019. I know it was a little while ago now, but we've seen some magic from him. He's an ageless classic, so I can't count him out.
He could.
Do you like Michael Block in this? Is that your sleeper here?
Oh, he's back. That's right. Holy shit.
Yep.
What's he at? I'm curious to see this now.
Is he even on the sheet?
if he's on the sheet, shout out to Vegas for putting him on there.
Dude, He's got to be all the way at the bottom.
I mean, he's got to be. There's no way. Show all. He's got to be at, like, very bottom. I don't see him right now.
Michael Block.
Michael. Oh, there he is. Plus 100,000. Plus 100.
Hey, if you want some value, we saw him show out last year. If you want some value,
that is $10 to win $10,000. If you have Michael Block outright to win the PGA,
that's a value pick to me, Stan. That's my number six. That's my value pick.
That's a value pick. Three balls. I love three balls. Three balls are probably one of my favorites. Bets in golf. So, I don't have much analysis like our five winners. Sepp Straka over Nick Taylor and Kanaya. Ben Ahn over Eric Hole and Bjork. And then Cam Young over John Rahm and Ricky Fowler.
Ooh. All right.
I'm bold.
Yeah. Since I already put Tiger at the five, I don't even know who's in his group, but I'll three ball.
Yeah, you can three ball him. So
there you go. That's my three ball. You want a three ball? Go take Tiger versus whoever at this point. And you know what? You know what, Stan? I'll double that down. Michael Block versus whoever. First day, they both got a show out. So give me those two.
Now we gotta find. Now we gotta find out who he's paired with. I gotta find
if
this.
They're riding together. It'd be crazy.
That would be hysterical. Three balls. Let's see. Koepka, Homa, Spieth, McIlroy, DJ, Justin Rose. Ludvig Åberg is the second. Oh, wow. That's, if you want good value, if he's healthy, Ludvig Åberg at plus 75 to win his group in the first round against Xander Schauffele and Justin Thomas.
Doable. I don't hate that at all.
Doable. Where is Michael Block? I need to find this.
I'm trying. I'm on the TV. I'm on the TV list right now.
I'm on the free. Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay. Got it. I got it. Michael featured in the opening group, 7 a.m. Luke Donald and Sean Michel.
I'm going to say this. I just saw a Tiger's group. It's winnable.
That's all I'm saying here, Sam.
Adam Scott and Keegan Bradley. I know I have Keegan Bradley in the make the cut parlay, but you don't have to make the cut. I mean, you can make the cut and lose in three ball. So,
yeah,
that's fine with that. So, reminder:
John Daly's playing in this.
I believe so. Yeah, John Daly is playing.
Yeah, his Lee Hodges and John Daly's just done. I don't even know how they're letting this guy go out there.
I need to find Michael Block. I need to find. I don't think they have him listed on here. Yeah, they don't. So last,
because he's a lock. Yeah. He's the first group teed off.
I mean, yeah, no shit. We're gonna
wake up for that.
We're gonna wake up at like 9 o'clock Thursday morning and be like, Michael Block with a 6-stroke lead to start.
This is unbelievable. Shot a 27 course record on the front nine.
All right, so one last time, the make the cut parlay. You ready? We'll have it posted. Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Cam Young, Tony Finau, Shane Lowry, Chris Kirk, Kurt Kitayama, Keith Mitchell, Patrick Reed, Keegan Bradley. One of one.
There you go.
One of one in make the cut parlays in my last one majors. Makes you think.
Well, my make the cut, Michael, two man this. Michael Block and Tiger. There we go. Two best
Block
out there.
And Tiger. Oh, my God. All right, moving on to
Chuck and John Daly in there, too, if you want to have a crazy tournament.
Why not? Why not? Who? At this point, it seems possible.
It can happen.
Anything can happen. All right, moving on to what I saw. The NCAA football cover has been revealed. It is going to be Quinn Ewers of Texas, Travis Hunter of Colorado, and Donovan Edwards of Michigan on the cover. I love it. It's coming back.
I like it.
You know, actually,
yep.
Jack Scanlon actually gave me this thought. When NCAA football comes out, I might create a player and just have like a live commitment ceremony and just have like three hacks. Like three.
I just want to say, I'm going to take my talents.
Like three.
Well, I'm thinking
literally
we'll figure
like,
it out when it comes out.
Like three hats laid out, and I'll be like,
oh. Well, think about this now. Is we got there's going to be connected franchise mode, and it's a 16 team or
we
whatever.
Have to, 12, so, 12 team this year. 14 12 team next year.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. So
we could do
we figure something out. But you take it out.
Be pretty big.
Purdue Boilermakers.
I also want to be a coach, and just build some like rent. I already have a team in mind, but I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil what team I have.
Oklahoma
in mind.
State, maybe.
Nope. It's a mid major.
All right, we'll get to it. I have a really funny one I saw. I don't know if you saw this.
Go at it.
Deshaun Watson got a blank Super Bowl ring tattooed on his back that he's planning to fill out when he wins a Super Bowl.
No,
I don't think this guy's in a Super Bowl anytime soon.
Is this real?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, massive.
Whoa,
gets a massive back tattoo featuring an image of
Deshaun Watson.
A Super Bowl empty Super Bowl ring.
It appears that's on. That's even funnier. That might be up there with Chris Paul being like, "I'm addicted to the NBA Finals," and then everyone being like, "Ah, he's saving himself."
I mean, what are you betting there?
What are you betting there? Exactly. Oh my god, that's insane.
I saw that today, and I actually started laughing because I'm just like appalled that guy thinks he's still that guy. Buddy, you have the worst contract in football right now. Just put that in perspective.
I still can't believe they gave him that money. That's fucking absurd. And they made the playoffs without him. Without him.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. There's my point.
Who did they start?
Playoff game? It wasn't even Flacco.
It was Flacco.
It was Flacco. I didn't know if they started in that playoff game. He threw in those, like, whatever, how many games he played? He had, like,
absurd.
13 touchdowns. 8 interceptions, though. That guy just does not care. I mean, he's just out there throwing the ball.
The defense was insane, although they sucked on the road and gave up, like, 30 points a game. You remember that guy?
Something to look at.
Commented on a TikTok.
Oh, I do. I do.
I never forget. I look back at it.
I know ball. We were right. We were right.
We were spot on. Like, on the
exactly
money.
What happened.
Bullseye.
Exactly
right
what
on the
we
money.
Said happened. We know ball.
Cleveland defense gives up a lot of points on the road. What else did we say?
Flacco doesn't take care of the ball through 270 in that game.
That I remember saying when they played each other when CJ Stroud was hurt, I think like the total was like, no, the spread was Cleveland -2.5. And then Cleveland was favored by 2. And I was like, there's no way that CJ Stroud makes a half point difference. Not a shot.
Nope.
Not a shot. I remember that.
Flat that guy. We were right.
We know ball.
Yep.
We know ball. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube. Leave a comment on this video. Subscribe to our YouTube. Yes, this episode will be out on YouTube. I pray. Hopefully I'm not lying. Be sure to follow us.
See my face this time.
Yeah. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. We will see you guys tomorrow night for my reaction to the end of the Ranger game, which is going to be...
Positive, negative, we'll find out.
Range of emotions. So probably we'll be...
Ecstatic. We could be going back to Cleveland.
We could be going back to Cleveland. A lot of possibilities. So be ready for a Friday upload. We'll see you guys Friday. All right. Peace out.